Hi, it's Adam Dalve again, and here is my relatively paranoid reading of pages 227 to 229 of Vineland, the scene with Weed Atman in the dentist's office. This brief bizarre scene of Atman's seemingly voluntary daily imprisonment in the dentist's office is, I think, one of the most striking scenes in the book, and one that is oddly disconnected from the rest of the work. Although the scene functions as a, in the words of the reader guide, Kafka-esque mini-story that has sort of cyclical, non-rational detachment through office hierarchy, sort of like the trial, I think the passage also contains insights into several pivotal themes of Vineland that I'd like to explore. Weed says that he could have ignored the form of the mail and never gone into the office, but his odd compulsion to return to the space, regardless of its use to him, speaks to me of an important concept throughout the book, the importance and politics involved in attraction. The first attraction inherent in Weed's obsessive return to the office is, as throughout the book, the appeal of the uppercase T tube. Doc Elasmo is known to Weed as a character in incoherent TV commercials who, when encountering Weed, is even sometimes visible as a ubiquitous screen image, grainy and flickering at the edges. This addictive draw of any figure on TV, no matter how insignificant, is shown by Elasmo's frequent descriptions as a character who glimmers or flickers. This appeal of something that is found while wasting time on late-night television speaks to the danger shown throughout the work that television can possess when it begins to, like a doctor here, infringe on people's lives. TV here, like throughout the book, is a source of fun distraction, but it also is a dangerous conduit that can manipulate the mass public. Just as Elasmo glimmers, so too is Brock Vaughn frequently described as having a white glow about him, a glow that shields around him, the people around him, and compels people to him. These characters are, as far as I can remember, the only two characters in the work who have this glow ascribed to them, and the fact that it comes from the television here could speak to the power it has for Vaughn as well. They're both charismatic, and they both have a compelling power that doesn't make sense to the viewer who can't, to the reader, rather, who can't actually see them. This similarity to Vaughn is demonstrated also by another theme in the work, most powerfully expressed through Farnese's quadrigenerational family line attraction to the sexual potency that people in uniform seem to have to various figures of protest. This attraction, beyond even the attractiveness of Chip's bikers, seems to me to be a longing of for S&M-style authority that can only end with conformity, much like a visit to a dentist's office subscribes to society's idea of what a perfect tooth is, and force people to undergo pain to reach it. This sexual attraction to authority is embodied here by Ilsa, traditionally, as the Reader's Guide describes, a symbol of taboo Nazi attraction in old pornography. She, like Vaughn, is an evil power symbol who is nevertheless appealing and costumed, and I think this embodies the desire, sexual desire for conformity and correction shared by multiple characters, as seen sort of at the end of the book with Curry as well. Also, as I'll talk about in a minute, the implication that Weed is either brainwashed or corroborating with Vaughn here just strengthens this appeal of conformity. One last thing on attraction. In a book relentlessly concerned about timeline, is a desire to escape the contemporary flow of time and ease into a space that is not filled with the pressures of day-to-day society as it continually unwinds into further chaos. This seems to me to describe Vineland, mainly in the work, but I think this unchanging doctor's office with its never-ending bureaucracy is another place where time can be escaped and characters can escape, can get away from these rigors. This also seems to resemble the status of the Thanatoids. These characters are also curiously outside of regulated time, slow-moving and unable to truly express themselves. The fact that the doctor's office seems to be, then, a precursor to Weed's future as dead man walking, it can also speak to the power and seduction that it has. Another theme shown here is Pynchon's lengthy description of the governmental building, which goes along with the general theme of the work of old structures, such as work progress association murals, being overshadowed by new systems and ideals of government. The letters on this old public building are no longer readable. Letters that once probably held in the habit of most government structures that I've seen, an inscription about the strength and fairness of the law. These letters, like the columns that the building has, are blackened and erased by time, unable to express their classical sentiments in a Ronald Reagan era of government. The curious sentence at the end of that paragraph that describes the geometric statues looking down demonstrates this further, because if it's a governmental building, there should be no faith there. This odd conflation is shown again when the gate in the office is described as either an object found in a courtroom or a church. Could this religion, as it's described here, be a faith in government and law was described as a sainted faith that the American system would work and wouldn't have to resort to unconstitutional acts such as the ones done by Brock Vond or, as I'm about to suggest, with what happens in the dentist office. The idea that the American public would have a religious faith in what government should be, a faith that is no longer appropriate, is an important idea in the work. The idea that something transgressive is taking place in the doctor's office is shown, I think, when Weed, after death, can't figure out why Lasmo has the power that he does to send letters out to follow people. I believe there's strong evidence here, shown through Weed's hazy memory of a white room far away that can't be remembered, and the description of drug-induced and drug-removed pain that sounds suspiciously like the torture done to Farnese in another part of the book, that the government is behind this entire action. It's comical that when Weed criticizes the gaps and absences in Farnese's story, gaps that we know are attributable to her meeting with Brock Vond, we too has gaps and absences in his own memory, disappears for long stretches of time, and returns unable to communicate with his fellows in the revolution. Vond knows too much about Weed, and I think it's implied here that, although it's said that he's cooperating with him, that this shows Vond's power to brainwash and manipulate people. The memory loss suggests this. Weed's sort of honesty as someone after death doesn't ever talk about this. And I think we can guess that Vaughn's jealousy over Farnese and Weed's liaisons and how much he knows about them could demonstrate a greater information. This also speaks, I think, to Vaughn's sort of evil in the book, that his desire to have Weed killed, even if Weed is an informant, could be, like Hector says, more personal and less related to politics. I definitely think this scene is one where that goes deeper than just the dentist's office and the sort of simple parable that it initially seems to be, and could indeed be another paranoid pinching reading of what the reaches the government can have into our everyday lives. Perhaps it's paranoid about me, of me also, but I don't think so. Anyway, there's obviously a lot more to do with this passage, but in the interest of time, I'll stop.